Well, hi guys, welcome to Breaking the Mold podcast. I'm very, very privileged to be here with Pastor Malcolm Smith, who is my mentor, my pastor, and very privileged to call him my friend as well. So Malcolm, thank you very, very much for having you on the show.
My pleasure to be here, Jacob.
So today we're really looking forward to just getting to know Malcolm and just a bit more, and to actually, my hope is that we're able to glean glean from someone who has really lived a remarkable life. So I'm excited for this.
Thank you very much.
This interview, Malcolm. So thanks. So just a tiny background on my from what I why I've asked Malcolm to come and share. Malcolm is the founder of Teen Challenge, what is now Adult and Teen Challenge Western Australia, and which is the drug rehab ministry that I went through back in, I came 2003 and really turned my life around. So I actually owe Malcolm my life, really, and we're really very aware that what he's done for us, he's done for so many other families, and just changed so many lives. So I'm really excited to be able to actually, so I'm really grateful, Malcolm, and I know I tell you every now and again, when I get a bit of a gushy moment, you'll receive one of those texts from me, but thank you, I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
I don't forget it. It's it's pretty special. So why did you start Teen Challenge? Let's go back. So before you started Teen Challenge Western Australia, you were working for Teen Challenge New South Wales.
I was with Teen Challenge New South Wales for about 10 years as a board member.
Why did you get involved with...
Because I was asked again.
Yeah. Did you have a particular heart for addiction or addicts or...
No, for young people. Young people. And I was taught Sunday school when I first became a Christian.
Yeah.
And so you become very aware of the needs of young people. So
why were you asked?
The Sunday school superintendent, Marge Jorgensen, asked me to be a Sunday school teacher. I'd only been saved about 3 or 4 months at that stage. But I'd learned enough Christianese to be able to say, I'll pray about it, Marge. And instead of saying yes or no, but I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. I thought it would be wonderful to help young people.
Yeah.
Having a background, I suppose, as a young person who'd lived in an orphanage and different things, young life in London in my younger days, from being born and then growing up as a teenager in England, and all the things we passed through, I suppose there was an awareness of the needs of young people in my life and people who had helped me. So there was a desire to help, I suppose, Sunday school with the young people there.
So when you were asked to join that board, were you just a junior church teacher at your local church?
No, at that stage I was a pastor of the church, of the associate pastors.
Yeah.
And I'd grown up in the church. I was there for 24 years in that particular church, Petersham AOG. And I was a pastor at the church, but I'd been a Sunday school teacher, then I'd got involved in the youth, then I'd got involved on the board of the church.
Yeah.
Then I'd become an assistant pastor and then associate pastor. So there's a process that you go through.
So you've gotten mixed up with Teen Challenge. Did you end up on staff? How did it go from board to staff there?
Well, for a period of time, I was, as I said, for about 8-10 years, I was on the board of Teen Challenge, but pastoring a church at the same time and being involved in Sunday school and youth and all the sorts of things you do within church life. Being on the board, when I had left the church, when the anointing lifted, I knew it was time to leave the church. And so, because you follow the Lord, and the anointing lifted, and I thought, well, but I had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
I didn't have a position, nothing to do. And so the position at Teen Challenge came after I had made the decision in God to leave the pastoral ministry in the church.
Wow.
And then they offered to set up Teen Challenge at King's Cross.
You set that up?
We set the ministry at Teen Challenge at King's Cross in Sydney.
Yeah.
At that stage, for nearly a couple of years, I suppose. It was quite a period of time. And We worked very hard. We purchased a building there for $200,000 in those days, and
Gosh.
we sold it for about $600,000 when we sold it.
Thank you, Lord.
And we had accommodation there for young people, and they learnt by doing. A lot of youth pastors in those days had the title but had no experience.
Yeah.
And so by coming to spend 6 months at Teen Challenge at King's Cross, they learned about drugs, they learned about rebellion, they learned about kids on the streets running away from home, they learned about all these things and were involved in them,
yeah.
With them, as well as doing 3 hours of lectures each day,
yeah.
In Bible study courses. People like Brian Houston, Frank Houston, Phil Pringle, wow. were our young bucks who were coming up at that stage,
wow.
and they used to come and lecture for us.
Wow. Crazy. So then you've been there for about 10 years, and then I know the story, but share it with our audience. You were fasting. Tell us that you were fasting.
Yes, I was. When I had left Teen Challenge there, or my time was finishing there, I was, 1 January, the Lord called me to fast and pray for 3 days. And it was January, I had a nice unit overlooking the DY Beach right up to Long Reef Golf Course, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I particularly didn't want to fast, and I was in no great hurry to go fasting, but I had learned at that stage, walking with God, that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, you want me to fast, I will fast. Not happy, Jan, but yeah. I will fast. And so...
Obedience sound like sacrifice at that point.
Yes, it sounds very much like sacrifice, but it's better than sacrifice, really,
right.
where there's no benefit from it.
Yeah.
When you're obedient, there is a benefit from it. And so I was able to pray and fast, and God began to speak to me about needs, and I began to speak in tongues, pray with my understanding, fast, etc., etc., and just wait on God. And God began to pray through me, and I began to understand what He was praying. And I was really beginning to pray, Father God, I want Your perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
I lift up the name of Jesus to accomplish Your perfect will. I lift up the name of Jesus, like the rod that Moses lifted up to cause the Red Sea to open up, and to make a way of escape, that the Holy Spirit will make a way of escape and bring many sons to glory. And so through the 3 days of praying and fasting and waiting on God, and I began to understand, and I just thought I was praying for somebody else in another country, or somebody in Australia, or somebody in Africa, or Asia, or somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just beginning to think, well, I'm just praying for somebody else's needs.
Yeah,
and that's fine. So it didn't concern me, in a sense, that God had got me to pray. But then 15 minutes before I was about to finish...
Oh, you hadn't finished?
No, I had 15 minutes to go.
Wow.
Before I would actually finish my 3 days. And the phone rang. And it was Pastor Frank Stockley from Sydney, from Perth, Western Australia. Now, I was living in Sydney at the yeah. time. And so...
From the leper colony?
Yes, that's right. One, Sydney, Perth doesn't exist really when you live in Sydney. It's sort of, we know it's attached there somewhere. But he was calling me, and he'd met us at a conference in Melbourne at some stage, and we'd talked, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, we really need you to come over here to Western Australia to help us with Teen Challenge. And I think he'd called about 6 months before, and I hadn't even taken his call. He'd called our centre at King's Cross. And I hadn't even taken the call, best I can remember anyway. And he was talking to me, and I said, Frank, I've been fasting for 3 hours. I'm dying of starvation. I need to go and get something to eat. Call me back in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so I went and got something to eat, walked up the beach at DY, right up to Long Reef, sat on the rocks there with the water, etc., and walked back again. And Frank did call me 3 hours later.
You knew who
later.
He was?
I knew. When he explained who he was, I remembered who he was.
Right.
And
so you knew it's Teen Challenge Western Australia calling you?
He had explained who he was, what he was doing, why he was calling, etc. So I knew it was about Teen Challenge, and they wanted help in setting up.
So then you give me 3 hours, clear my head.
Yeah, have something to eat. And so I came back and he called. And then he said about coming over. And I said, no, I'm really not interested, Frank. I don't want to come. And but he said, well... And then he said, well, would you come for 4 weeks? And I had a nice sports car, and I thought, well, drive over there. So it was across the Nullarbor. I'd never driven across the Nullarbor. And so I had all the wrong motivation. There was nothing godly, it would appear, in my decision to come over to Perth, Western Australia.
A sports car on the Nullarbor is the motivation.
Sports car on the Nullarbor. And so I went via Melbourne, and I stayed there, and I... By that stage, I'd worked hard in my life, and I'd had plenty of money and all that sort of thing. And so I went via Melbourne and went to see the Teen Challenge people down there and purchased all their books. They'd had a lot of books and Teen Challenge stuff. And I thought, well, I'll give this to them when I get over there, and et cetera. But miracles began to happen. When I got over here to Perth, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to work. And miracles began to happen to setting up the Teen Challenge ministry here in Western Australia.
In the 4 week gap that Frank
in the 4 weeks, yeah. Just in the 4 weeks that I was there, and I stayed with Pastor from the church there, and for 4 weeks in his home, and he was very friendly, and his wife, and I think he had 3 or 4 daughters. And I just stayed there in their home, and it was just lovely. And to me, it was just a holiday, you know. And I was trying to say all the right things, give them all the experience, gave them all the material I'd purchased, and et cetera, et cetera. But the Holy Spirit was working and doing things unbeknown, in a sense.
So had Frank asked you to come long-term by that point, but you'd said he'd give you 4 weeks, or it just said, come over, give us what you can?
No, it was still just the 4 weeks.
Yeah.
At that stage, it was just still the 4 weeks.
Did you know they wanted you for longer?
Oh, yes. Well, made that clear on the phone call.
Yeah, but you've just...
Yeah, no, 4 weeks will suit me. I should be able to come over for 4 weeks. And I actually thought, again, I was living in Sydney. Yeah. Perth really doesn't exist. Frank's talking to me, and he's telling me all sorts of things. And I thought they had a Teen Challenge set up over here in Western Australia, in Perth. I thought there was a Teen Challenge. I was just coming over to give them advice, and then I'd go back. When I got here, they had nothing.
What did they have?
They didn't even have a constitution. They had a cardboard box with some papers in it and a checkbook, which I looked at. I opened it up, and the last stub in the checkbook where the balance was $149 and some cents. That's all I had in the bank.
So you think you're going over to an established centre, you're coming to a shoebox with $150.
Yep, that's it. And that was Teen Challenge. They didn't have a constitution written up. There was nothing.
Did they have any students?
No, they didn't have any students. They'd tried to set Teen Challenge up.
It's an idea.
It's a desire and an idea, a godly idea.
A good idea, good idea.
And they'd hoped to do it this way, that way, and they'd done all sorts of things.
So you've come over to an idea.
I'd come over to an idea. Yes.
So the miracles start happening, 4 weeks of God moving.
Then, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there was a young Baptist couple, and they became very interested. And it was interesting because they were going to go over to Sydney the following that year, when our academy started, the Academy of Youth Ministry that we'll be running with Teen Challenge
from King's Cross.
From King's Cross, and they were going over to do that course so they could be able to set Teen Challenge up and do whatever. Wow. And so that's what they were thinking. They just got their inheritance from their father's farm and all that sort of thing, and so they were cashed up and had a lovely house at Mullaloo and all that sort of thing. And so I somehow or other we got connected with them. I don't know actually how it all happened. And they said, if you stay here at some stage, when we were talking about this, they said, if you stay here and train us, we will give you $100,000 interest-free loan. We will give Teen Challenge, Western Australia, $100,000 interest-free loan for 10 years.
So now the $150 turned into 100 grand.
Turned into 100 grand if I stayed.
With the provision of.
If I stayed and taught them and
Yeah.
trained them to take
So
over Teen
now
Challenge.
you're thinking 4 weeks turns into maybe
A year.
to get these guys on,
Yes, it
these
was
guys
the
going.
idea was a year.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, all right, then I'll rent my property in Sydney, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so you sort of think, oh, all right, then God, you know,
Yeah.
and the Lord's will, God's will is always your driving
Yeah.
force and will and desire. And so it seemed to be, all right then, Lord, so we'll make it not only 4 weeks, we'll make it a year
Yeah.
and 4 weeks. We'll add the year to it. It's not the end of the world
Yeah.
and all that sort of thing. And we had people who could, Teen Challenge was functional very well in
Yeah.
those days at in Sydney. So it wasn't a problem. And so by the grace of God, we started out and we were able to purchase a property up at Gingin. Was our first property and we used $100,000 towards that. We spent $140,000 to purchase our first property, a 70-acre property,
Yeah.
etc. And we could accommodate about six guys, I think it was, six or eight guys, and some staff, and etc., etc. And so we purchased that property, built a teaching theatre there, so we could teach the young people, etc. And so we were up and running. And miracles began to happen in the lives of young people. And it was interesting, a couple of years ago, I bumped into our very first student. He's going to the Church of Christ down in Albany.
Wow.
And our very first student that we had in the program, he'd heard I was coming to preach. And so he didn't go to his church that Sunday. He came to the church where I was preaching
Yeah.
in Albany in Western Australia. And he identified himself before and then afterwards, and then I went up to visit and visit, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just wonderful to see this young man walking with God,
Wow.
a wonderful wife, children, a lovely property that he owned overlooking the bay there in Albany, et cetera. And to think that that was our very first student, a life that was changed, a bit like
Amazing.
yourself, Jacob, as you introduced. And there's something deep and meaningful and a pleasure and a joy in seeing a life, a destiny changed from corruption and death and destruction to life, blessing and kindness. Whether it's your first student or some student of the thousands that have been through Teen Challenge following on.
Wow. Do you know how many students have been into the Teen Challenge
There's
program?
probably about 2,500, I think, because it's a year's program. Just saying to somebody, don't use drugs,
Yeah.
is not enough.
Yeah.
There needs to be a miracle in their life
Yeah.
with Jesus. And about well, maybe a couple of years later, whatever it was, I was walking down the pathway at Grace Academy one evening, and the students had just come out of the. Out of the lecture theatre, and they wanted to run ahead and prepare supper for us when we got to the house. And so I said, yes, that's right, fine, you're right, run ahead.
Yeah.
And so they ran ahead, and as I walked up, and it was a lovely property and had white post fencing and like a horse's corrals and all that sort of thing. And I began to thank God. Lord, thank you for this wonderful facility. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful place. Thank you for the miracles in the lives of these young people, these students. We call them students because they're there to learn
Yeah.
by the grace of God how to live a meaningful life. And the Lord said to me as I was walking up that pathway there to supper, and the Lord said, He said, but I only answered your prayer.
Well.
And I said, what prayer? I don't remember praying. And I thought about it, and I thought, before Frank Stockley had called me, or 15 minutes at the end, I'd been praying. I had assumed it was for somebody else in another country, another
Yeah.
land, another part of Australia. Father, I want your perfect will. I
Mm.
lift up the rod of authority, even the name of Jesus, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will make a way of escape and bring many sons and daughters, of course, to glory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it all came back to me. And when God said, but I only answered your prayer, but it
Wow.
was his prayer from his heart
Yeah.
that we had connected with, and
Yeah.
he prayed through us, not fully understanding, that it was the establishment of Teen Challenge in Western Australia and the changed lives that would follow from preaching of the gospel and teaching the word of God to these young people.
Amazing. So good. So when you, this is at Gin Gin still?
Still at Gin Gin.
So what was the facility there? Was it a teaching room and what's
some accommodation? We had a shed which we built a teaching theatre inside the shed.
Yeah.
And we had the brick house that was there, which was very nice. And you had four bedrooms on one side and then a staff accommodation on the other. And so I lived in one of the bedrooms at that stage.
So at what point did you realise 4 weeks had turned to a year and then a year was open-ended?
I really can't remember all the time and details so much. But
did you have a realisation at some point, hang on, this isn't
the first 4 weeks, after the first 4 weeks, I realised I was there for a year.
Yeah.
And then when I was there for the year, it became obvious that I couldn't leave the ministry at that stage, because of a variety of reasons, and I knew I had to stay.
Yeah.
And so I thought, all right, I'll do another year. So I can see.
How long did 4 weeks turn into?
Well, nearly 36 years. So 4 weeks turned into nearly 36 weeks.
36 years, so that's...
36 years.
So when did, so it was 85,
yeah, sorry,
was it?
36 years,
was it,
yes.
Was it 1985?
1985, God called us over here. And stood down.
So when did Teen Challenge change from a shoebox to a
ministry?
A ministry, 85?
Well, yeah, 1985, because we began to talk to people about setting the place up legal, getting charity status, bringing in the teaching, proper teaching, global Teen Challenge teaching facilities, and doing everything correctly according to the Teen Challenge model of rescuing young lives from the drug scene.
So I remember you telling me a story about one of the, she must have been young at the time, because you, one of the government workers in Gin Gin, and you must have been talking about funding and status and all of those sorts of things, charity status and those type of things. But I remember you telling me the story about this little tiny farm situation, the shed and the house, and telling her about this vision you had for an academy.
That was Darcy. She came up to visit within that first year or second year. It wasn't long after we'd been there. And because when I first went over there, the people wanted us to meet the people from the Alcohol and Drug Authority, or whatever name they had in those days, the Alcohol and Drug Authority, the government structure, and that they were interested. And she came up with some other people. She was just a junior person in the department at that stage, and Darcy. And she came back to visit maybe many years, 20, 25 years later, when we were at down in Esperance, and we had our big property and facilities and 260 acres and houses and chapel and little proper lecture theatres and a bit like a university in many ways. When she looked
$10
around...
$10 million of assets.
Yes.
$150 is now $10 million.
Yeah, and assets and cash and all that sort of thing in the bank. So God had blessed us in so many different ways, just miracle after miracle of God's blessing in the lives of the young people, but also for the facilities to look after these young people and their families, etc. And so Darcy, she shared when she came 20, 25 years later down to Esperance, she shared with the students at lunchtime. Mm. She got up in the dining room and said, I just want to say, and this is not a Christian lady, this was a lady from the Alcohol and Drug Authority, and she said, I remember meeting Malcolm back when they were up at Gin Gin, and when he sort of said, I envisage that by the grace of God that we will have this facility, that facility, some other facility, teaching, a chapel, accommodation, etc., etc. And he shared all, and she said, I look around and I see what has happened. She said, when he was talking about this at the time, I thought, pie in the sky.
Yeah.
You know, this is ridiculous. This man's, you know, doesn't know what he's talking about. He's got no idea of reality.
Yeah.
And so she was amazed that all the things we spoke about by the grace of God was now established and being used for his ministry to present Jesus as Lord and Savior in people's lives and change the direction of their life.
Yeah, wow. So what? So you've gotten involved with Teen Challenge initially because you had a heart for young people, and then you've got mixed up with Teen Challenge New South Wales, just as the seasons and just things fall into places, and then you've found yourself over on the West Coast or the Best Coast, however you like to look at it.
Yes.
And then you've, so like, where is your heart moved to, right, this is, I'm called to work with people with addiction, this is my life calling?
When did I understand that?
Yeah, when was the actual, right, okay, this is me?
I think it sort of dawns on you in different ways. You become aware. Don Wilkinson, Dave Wilkinson's brother, asked me to be on the global board of Teen Challenge. We'd met him in Europe and at some function or other, and he said, I'm thinking of setting up a global Teen Challenge, because he said in Times Square's church, where David and he were pastoring, he said, we get so many requests of people in other countries who want us to come and establish a Teen Challenge in their country, in their nation. And so he said, we need to really set up a global Teen Challenge so that we can help all these nations establish Teen Challenge, and so rescue the people in the drug scene and the associated lifestyle.
So you're part of setting up Global Teen Challenge?
So we become a founding member of Global Teen Challenge with Don Wilkinson and David Wilkinson. And so just one thing led after another, and we sold Gin Gin, we had Woodridge, the girls' ministry, and then we had a house in Perth, and just miracles after miracles. As we began to grow, you could see the hand of the Lord, and so it was obvious not to move.
Right.
You didn't need to be a brain surgeon to figure out that this is not the time to move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was very clear, beyond the natural.
This is what God's doing.
This is what God's doing.
I'm part of what God's doing. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I had to be concerned about.
You're talking about the miracles. Tell us about the miracle of purchasing the Teen Challenge facility in Esperance. So for those that aren't familiar with it, this is the 250-acre property. It's got a lovely lake. It's got fields. Had buildings at the time. Now it's unrecognisable to what it was. But that was the initial. Well, tell us this. This is a cool story.
Yes, the Esperance. It's different now because the old fibro houses have all changed to double brick houses and expanded and grown, and the fallen down trees, and it was an old place that had been used by some Christian people, which was wonderful, and they'd have established it and used it well for what they were using it for. But now it was part of Teen Challenge, and so we cleaned it all up, and we rebuilt the buildings, and we built a chapel there too, a brick chapel, and the chapel points east and has a big stained glass window, and so when the sun comes up in the morning, it shines through the cross into the chapel and the facilities. And so that was quite miraculous, just again the way that happened. We had property at that stage at Beverley, we had property in Gingin, we had property at Woodridge, we had property in Perth, and we had lots of properties around the place, but they were, you needed a director in each program, you needed a bus for each program, and so you had the girls' program, the guys' program.
There's a real need to consolidate.
And so we needed to consolidate, and so I came down to minister at Esperance with these church people and in their church, and it was quite miraculous. We ministered, we were on the radio, we were on in the newspaper, etc., etc. And so, but 10 days later, after we had left, the guy who was running what was called Esperancho in the day had an asthma attack and died.
Oh, gosh.
And so the people who owned it and were been looking after it for years felt that they had to just give it up. And so they had a few places. And so we took our chairman of our board, I think it was, and another board member, and our last 3 years of audited figures down to show them, to show that financially we were responsible, structurally we were responsible, to da 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 da. Anyway, they ended up giving us the Teen Challenge property.
And they sell it.
No, they gave it to us. Well, legally, that they gave it to us. What they didn't sell it. They just gave it to us
Okay.
because they'd got it. They'd paid for it. They had hardly any debt anyway,
Yeah.
and all that sort of thing. And so they gave it to us, but they legally gave it all to us on two conditions. And we had it written into that we keep the name Esperancho for 7 years. And we don't sell the place and just move all the money to Perth, which is understandable, aspirants, So they were the two conditions. And so it was signed over totally legally to Teen Challenge, and it's Teen Challenge property. And so we slowly sold all the other properties
Is it
and moved
just legend
everything.
that it was sold for a dollar? That you bought it for a dollar?
I'm not even sure. I wouldn't even know. Maybe that may have been the law in the day.
I think it needed to be like a transaction or something.
Yeah, well,
Maybe
one.
it was actually those guys that told me the story then, maybe.
Yeah, it was the thing was, it was a charity setup. It had to be given to a like-minded charity or sold to a like-minded charity. You see, but basically given or whatever. And so we were looking after young people. You see, they'd been looking after young people, school children, and all sorts of things. And so it was the same sort of charity. And so we came under the same covering. We had all the government endorsements, etc., etc. And so they were able legally to give it to us. Whether we sold it for it was sold to us for a dollar or not, I'm not too sure. But it was sold to us, but it was legally given
Free.
to us.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it belongs to Teen
It's a tremendous
Challenge.
facility.
And we're able to sell all our other properties and slowly over a period of a few years bring everything down to Grace Academy, which cut all our costs down. And running such a large organisation with and up to have we've had over 40 young people there at different stages.
Something that I remember is so to sort of almost inject myself into the story here. I remember you've come down. I think I was a no, I wasn't a student at. So for those that aren't familiar exactly with my story, I went into Teen Challenge in 2003, and I did the program, and I became an intern 2000 mid 2004. Joined the staff team at the end of 2004 and then worked at the centre for 2 years. So somewhere in that period, I'm thinking I might have been a staff member.
Yes.
I remember coming to you and saying, "We really need to have a church in Perth. It'd be just so great for people when they leave to be able to help them transition, because we're watching people, obviously transitioning has been probably the biggest gap we've seen in the ministry. We see
Yes.
people come in, amazing
Yes.
miracles happen, and then we see them leave, and it's almost like the some go amazing, some don't find that network and that don't get planted into a church and sort of fall away. But I remember saying to you, we need a church, and I remember just like it wasn't even a second in it. It was like, no, nah, not doing that. And then by the end of your trip down there, you were saying, "We're having a church in Tank. We're going to put a church in Perth." Is that? And then, do you remember that, or do you remember any of
Not
how
greatly.
did? So, and then just to sort of fast forward a few years later, when the church was planted, Malcolm's asked me to run it. I was the assistant. Malcolm was the pastor. I was the assistant pastor, actually running the church. But that's why I've got a special interest in this, like, understand. No. So do you remember? Do you remember how the idea of the church started, or when you?
I think became necessary, became obvious that it was necessary to have a church because the young people came to Teen Challenge They're full of drugs and lying, cheating, stealing, running, blaming everybody else, their parents for every problem they've got, the government, and everybody else is fault. It's not my fault. And by the grace of God, they meet Jesus, they get saved, their life begins to change, the Holy Spirit works in their life, the will of the Father begins to operate, they begin to care and be kind to other people. And their life is radically changed. They begin to learn to walk with God, discipleship. And then many of them stayed on, as you did, Jacob, for ministry afterwards, as an intern, but then came a staff member. And so it became obvious after a while, because where kids would come into Teen Challenge streetwise, they knew how to lie, cheat, steal, and run, but they didn't know how to love, be kind, be thoughtful, be considerate, understanding, patient, and walk with God.
Yeah, a
And
Christian
so by the
character.
time, yeah, the Christian character. So by the time they'd left Teen Challenge, they did. But sometimes when they'd go to a church, the pastor would say to him, "Oh, where do you come from?" "Oh, I'm an ex-Teen Challenge student." "Oh, well, you need to sit here for a year and do nothing, and we will see what we can do with you in a year's time." And they'd backslide, some of them, not all of them, but some of them would backslide. And so we realized there was a bit of a gap there, that we really needed to have a church in Perth. So that the young people who needed to go there, if it was 3 months or 6 months, even if they had to travel, would have somewhere to go if they needed to, if they couldn't find a church where they understood and looked after them. So we, by the grace of God, were able to start a church in Perth, and then we've had a number of people who have come through Teen Challenge who have gone into the ministry and are pastors of other churches as well, here in Western Australia as well as in Eastern States. So we are grateful to God that's for the influence of so many young people in the lives of others who have found Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and are able to preach the gospel and share the word of God with people.
What's that like for you, where you, where you've you know that you've done your bit, sort of thing. Like, you know, we know we're serving God, and where God's taken you from where you were born again into the ministry. Okay, now I'm serving God. And what's it like for you seeing people that you've, like, being instrumental in their discipleship? What's it like to see them going on and
It's a joy. It's a wonderful joy, because not only are they walking with God, but they're winning other people for Jesus. It's the lives that have that influence that is causing the kingdom of God to grow and to see life change. I mean, there's something deep and wonderful and blessing, not only because it's God's will, but also because you're affecting your environment, your life, the people. You're changing the direction of somebody's life. In time and eternity. And so, from our point of view, from my point of view, I mean, from a 18-year-old when I gave my life to Jesus, I'm 80 years of age next year. My birthday next year, I'll be 80 years of age. And so I've been able to serve God at Teen Challenge Western Australia for 36 years just about. And I thank God for that, in pastoral work at King's Cross. Never backslidden, never got away from God. Just love God. I just love everything about Him, my Father, my Son, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? That relationship with God, to be able to walk with God, is such a joy. But also to be able to walk with young people, as you were saying, Jacob, young people who are now walking with God, who understand partly what we understand. And the revelation comes slowly sometimes. And the joy. I mean, I was, how old was I? 36 years ago. I still didn't know God wanted me to go to Western Australia. He's still leading me step by step, sort of thing. So I'm still learning even now.
I'm just thinking over the years, just different times you'll, like, met, you know, someone will be being talked about, or someone will have reached out to you, or I've been with you when we've bumped into people, and you've, like, "Oh, that was, I used to teach him in June when he, we used to, what do you say, when he used to wear short pants.
Yeah, that's right, in Sunday school, yeah. Like, well, some of them are pastors. Yeah. The kids I taught in Sunday school are now retired pastors.
I was even thinking, like, some of them, I think, was it Joel Cave you were saying he was his parents or something?
Yeah, Joel Cave, up in Queensland.
Yeah.
Yes, when his father was a great influence in our life, Brian Cave, and my brother Richard was the one who led me to the Lord Jesus when I was 18 years of age. And so just miracle after miracle of just walking with God. There's nothing clever about the ministry. Yeah. There's nothing clever about being a Christian. It's a matter of giving your life to Jesus, realizing I need somebody bigger than myself to look after me. Now, I'm not talking about a wife here. Yeah. We're talking about somebody like God, who's already in tomorrow, who can organize my tomorrow as I pray, and can wash my past away, the bad things, but also make my future meaningful and of purpose and of destiny, and to be able to change other young people like yourself, Jacob, and your wife Melissa, to be able to change your destiny and your children's destiny, to be able to see the difference in your life. When we were at King's Cross, we met many very bad people. We were threatened, we were intimidated, there was all sorts of things happened which I won't go through, but the point is, throughout all of that, we saw some absolutely wonderful miracles happen in the lives of people, like yourself. And we thank God for it, that they've gone on and done wonderful things in God. I bump into some of them when I'm in Sydney still.
That's amazing. You talk about, like, you know, where you're looking at the ripple effect of your ministry and, you know, what God's... One of my favourite stories in life is, you talk about your brother led you to the Lord. One of my favourite stories in life is the story of how your brother got saved.
Yes.
Was it a street preacher witnessing to him?
He was walking through the streets of Petersham in Sydney at one stage.
Yeah. Was it somehow linked to the Billy Graham crusade?
Billy Graham, Brian Cave came to know the Lord through the Billy Graham crusade.
Right.
My brother had been in like an orphanage like ourselves, but he'd been there for 7 years.
Wow.
We were there nothing like that length of time, and it was a different place altogether. And it was a Jewish institution in England, Sussex. He was there, and he always had this thought. Now, they had the Ten Commandments all over the place.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments.
Right, because it's a Jewish place.
It was a Jewish place.
Yeah.
And lots of stories, but one of the things, he decided that I must try to get to know this God of the Ten Commandments at some stage. And so when he's walking through Petersham this stage with his wife and little baby and whatever else at that stage in his life, it was this open air was there. And would listen to them. He'd walk on and walk slowly and hear some of the gospel, and then he would come back on Sundays when they were setting up, and there was a cafe just over the road, and he would go into the cafe to have a cup of coffee. Now, Brian Cave noticed after a few Sundays that Richard was over there, my brother, so they went over, and another guy, and they spoke to him, and he came to the church, and he gave his heart to Jesus, and miracles begin to happen in his life. He's still walking with God.
Yeah.
He's in his 80s now and lives up at Gosford. And I was only talking to him on the phone yesterday, and he's just on about the Lord and the things of God.
But he was key. He was key in introducing you to God.
To the Lord. He'd been brought up in an orphanage. He'd been in the... it was the time of national service in Australia. And he came out on the Big Brother scheme, he did the national service. He was a boxing champion, and so he was a tough guy. And even in London, he was a tough guy.
Yeah,
that's why they had to mum really had to let him go, because life was very difficult in London after the war. I was born during the war, but just after the war, it was very difficult in London.
So then he's, well, I just love that story. So from some guy reaching out, witnessing to him.
Brian Cave, yep.
Brian Cave, just reaching out, witnessing to him. He's led, he was able to, you know, through his influence, introduce you to God, which has, you know, started you on your journey. And, you know, a couple of thousand people into this center, just countless miracles, even outside of the Teen Challenge ministry before, but so many families through but one
Brian
guy
Cave,
witnessing
yeah, Brian
to your
Cave,
brother.
His son has about 1,000 people in his church in Queensland, which I've been to, and they acknowledge it was wonderful being there. Also, his daughter married the pastor. Again, I used to teach them in, they were part of the youth group. His daughter and Barry Sarr, who became the pastor of the Church of Petersham, who's now retired, and he married her, the daughter, so Brian Cave's daughter. And then he became a pastor as well, and many lives saved. And he was multitudes of lives saved through his whole ministry.
Wow. So this guy, like, okay, forget, like, he's got a tremendous ministry that's going on. His son's got a tremendous ministry. His daughter's...
And married the pastor and all that sort of stuff.
But from that, Teen Challenge Western Australia's happened.
As well.
Like, gosh, talk about a ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then you've got, like, some people who, through our, you know, through the ministry of Teen Challenge, we see some really, you know, some great churches in Perth, like, some great evangelistic ministries, like Jade Lewis, Governor's Prayer Breakfast last week.
Yes.
Like, just...
The ripple effect, it's just amazing where things lead to. And Brian Cave, when I first met Brian Cave and got to know him, I thought he was unrealistic.
Wow.
I used to think, and I share this at times, that Brian Cave, I used to sort of think, you're not living in the real world.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was realistic, but in fact I was negative.
Yeah, wow.
I have learnt since in my early days in Christianity through Brian Cave, really not to be realistic in the world, but realistic in God's kingdom. The realism in God's kingdom of faith and obedience is completely different to the realism of the world of death, destruction, and loss.
Like Darcy from the Drugs and Alcohol. With when she met you.
And just share the future. You see, we can talk about the future and then they see it come to pass.
Wow.
And the miracles. And with Brian Cave, I used to think Brian wasn't realistic. And eventually it dawned on me. No, he wasn't realistic in this world because he believed the word of God, the promises of God. And the promises of God is if you go and share the gospel, your bread won't... just go away.
Yeah.
It will produce fruit. Right. Cast your bread upon the water. And
many days it will return.
And somehow or other, so he just preached a simple gospel. And I speak to Brian, he's still alive, and his wife Margaret. They lived in Five Dock in Sydney. And just a wonderful, godly man, still is.
Amazing. So we'll start to wrap this up, but I'm just amazed, like, so you're approaching 80, just so many miracles and miracle, like, your miracles have done miracles, the same as
praise
Brian
the Lord.
Cave's miracles have done miracles
praise
into the ministry
the
of Teen Challenge, and it's just keeps going on and on, and you know, and we don't have time to go into everything that, because I've had the privilege of working closely with you now for probably the last 15 years, thereabouts, and you know, I would have, you know, you've seen the whole world, you've met prime ministers, you've met, you know, it was like, you know, sort of at church, we're just moving into the book of Joshua, and I remembering at the end of Joshua where it talks about not one of the promises that God gave to Israel failed, like as far as the land. I'm just thinking, like, you're walking in just everything God said, the, you know, my account, you'll speak to kings, my, you know, just amazing what God will do with someone who says yes.
I think it's a matter of, we sing the song Trust and Obey.
Yeah.
Trust is faith and obedience. You see, we have the promises of God. If we will do this, the key is doing what God wants you to do and not what you want to do.
Yeah.
You see, a lot of people fail in God is because they get saved, then they want to go in the ministry.
Yeah.
They bypass discipleship.
Yeah.
Discipleship is learning to walk with God.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we major on at Teen Challenge, again with our young people, is discipleship. Is they come to know the Lord Jesus, but then we teach them the ways of God and how to walk with God. And so when they come into their ministry, even if it's just being an elder in a church, and we've got people who are running their businesses.
Yeah, whatever their ministry is.
Employs other people.
Yeah, not everyone's a church ministry.
Not everybody's a church pastor. Many of them are just people in the church, you know what I mean, who are fulfilling a need in the church and ministering to other people. And so it's a matter of us being able to trust and obey, to trust God and obey God. Now, that sounds simple when I say it, but to have that faith in God and to know his will. Now, sometimes we don't always know God's will completely.
Yeah.
But we take a step, like as you were talking about Joshua, the priests had to step into the water.
To get their feet wet.
And then the water began to back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's a process.
Yeah.
There's a process in God.
And the I think I just had one thought this morning that we'll close with. I was thinking, like, you look at life, and I don't know if it's the key to a successful life, or I wonder if it's what's where we move from pure flesh life to a higher plane, if you like, let's just say godlike. It's where delayed gratification, like,
it's what it is. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's. If you're going to live a life that is meaningful, you've got to live in eternity already.
Yeah.
You've actually got to live in God in eternity. Now, I, by the grace of God, when I came to know Jesus, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it.
Yeah.
I like what Billy Graham says, if you hear of my death, don't believe it.
Yeah.
I've not died. I've actually just moved location.
Changed address.
Just changed address. Now, we're the same.
Yeah.
You see, I'm actually, I will be going home.
Yeah.
I will be going home. You see, Earth isn't my home.
No.
I may love Earth and I love the people of Earth, etc. But by the grace of God, I've been taken out of this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Wow.
And so when you live with an eternal perspective of life, a heavenly perspective of life, you can actually pass through, by the grace of God, anything in the realm of time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not living in time, I'm living in eternity within the will of God. And because you have an abandonment to the will of God, God is able to lead you even when you're not aware where he is actually leading you. You will be obedient anyway.
Wow, that's so good. Well, I thank you very, very much for your time, Malcolm.
My pleasure.
And just again, thanks for everything you've done for me and for my family.
My pleasure.
My two brothers have both been through Teen Challenge, my wife.
Yes.
And, you know, been able to work with and for you for the last, both Melissa and myself, and flow on from that for the last 15, 20 years. So you've just given us more than... more than most people will give anybody. So just, yeah, thanks for everything you've done for us, for the families in Western Australia. Yeah, and just, yeah, you're amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
We thank you, Jacob, for following the Lord Jesus, walking with God and your wife and your family. And you're a great blessing to us as we watch you and Melissa and so many other lives and their families, the mums and dads. Many of them have been backslidden Christians or people who just never knew the Lord. Yeah. And whole families have come to know Jesus through the simple ministry of sharing Jesus. Lord bless you.
Thanks, Malcolm.